Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Did you bring wine?
I got the glasses.
You guys, I made a quiz.
No, I didn't bring anything, but I'm here to have fun.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broadwasted podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and I want to take you higher. It's a disco inferno in my open arms tonight. It's going to work out fine if you shake your tail feather. We don't need another hero, Thunderdome. But if you're the hunter, you better be good and tender to me, baby. Let's stay together, because I don't want to fight. I can't stand the rain, so don't turn around on that deep river mountain high on Nutbush City limits. Proud Mary. Joining us today... are the usual private dancers, including Kevin, a fool in love, Jaeger.
Always, that's me.
Kimberly, our the best game master and unofficial babysitter for the hour.
Simply the best.
And with us today are some incredible talents. Their Broadway credits include Waitress, King Kong, Amelie, and the Book of Mormon. And they're both currently... in Tina, the Tina Turner musical, let's give a big Broadwasted welcome to Friends of the Show.
Friends of the Show!
Kayla Davian and Destiny Ray! Welcome. I don't know what to say, because like, are you currently in it, even though you're not, it's not on? But Tina is a part of the season, and you opened, and you haven't closed, so you're in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like former and future cast members.
We booked and blessed.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We always start every episode with, what are you drinking?
What are we drinking?
Kimberly, you're in a new place too. Why don't you start?
My sister, who was in this beach house before I came to it, left me the ingredients for an Aperol Spritz in the fridge.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, that's what I have. And I feel very fancy.
Yes.
But also I haven't showered. So here we are. Oh, brow.
Kayla, do you want to go next?
Yeah, you know, I'm drinking a good old classic, a whiskey ginger, you know.
Ooh, yeah.
Wrong? Can't go wrong. Okay.
Love it.
And I'm with her on that. I got a little ginger beer with whiskey.
Ooh, yeah.
That's nice. Kevin?
I am drinking water because I got unexpectedly very drunk last night.
Same.
So I am like in like recovery mode. Like I woke up at 2 p.m. today. So
I saw you with an orange juice and I was like, oh no, Kevin hurts.
Yeah, I'm living my best life. But I ordered a pizza, so I have like crappy food to eat after, which is gonna be amazing.
Yay.
Nice. And I'm drinking a black and blue. So I have Blue Moon and Guinness, and you put the Blue Moon in first and you top it with the Guinness so it floats on top of it. And as you drink it mixes it together. What?
Oh, fancy.
It's already mixed because I've been drinking it. But it's delicious.
Take pictures of your fun drinks.
I took one the first time on Instagram. I was having a black and blue Moonraker because I was watching Bond Moonraker. Anyway. Thank you so much for joining us. Let's just get right into this. What are your favorite musicals?
Ooh, I love Ragtime. I do. Love it.
Such a good show.
It's a masterpiece. It's beautiful. The music is incredible. The story is everything. It has some like moments where you're like, huh, you know, I wish it didn't go like this. But I love that show and The Color Purple. When I was in sixth grade, and then I saw the original Broadway cast, and then the revival,
wow.
And I just love it.
That was the first show that the three of us saw together for the podcast. That revival.
I love that.
Held each other and wept.
Yes.
And then we recently, before everything shut down, we went to the library and we all watched the original cast of Ragtime video.
Oh,
I love that. It was so good.
Highly recommend.
Yeah.
They were all such babies, like Audra and Brian Stokes. Like, they were just like so young. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah.
Kayla? This dry young man dancing.
Now he's singing from his balcony.
Exactly.
Yeah, Kayla? I'm going to say Ragtime. I love Ragtime. Mm-hmm. I think it's an all-time favorite classic.
Yeah.
Also, I love Memphis the Musical. It is
sure.
Why I chose theater. I think they, it just is beautiful music. It speaks about love and how music brings people together. And yeah, and I think that it's just a beautiful story. So that's my get-go right there.
Those are great answers.
Does Memphis live in you, Kayla?
It lives in okay.
Ready. Do you remember, you kind of touched on it a little bit, but do you remember either the first show you saw that made you realize like, oh, I want to do this, or do you remember your first Broadway show and that experience?
I mean, first show that made me want to do theater was Memphis.
Okay, sure.
First time I saw, I didn't really know much about theater, so mm-hmm. it was the first time that I found out that there could be an African-American lead role
mm-hmm.
as a female. So it turned me upside down and I was like, oh, wow, this is it. Like, this is life. Okay, cool, 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 cool. I didn't know this existed.
Did you grow up around here?
No, I'm from Chicago. Chi-town.
Oh, okay.
What's good?
Okay.
Chi-town was good. Stand up. also, fun fact, whenever I introduce myself in any kind of theater operation or whatever, you will most likely hear me say, Chi-town was good. That's it.
Represents.
Yes. But first musical was Waitress.
Cool.
That out of the gate was crazy. I just graduated from college and I had 2 weeks to learn the entire track. And that was
wow.
Wait, was that the first Broadway show you saw?
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah.
That must have been very cool. Like your first Broadway show is one that you're going to be like putting your feet on that stage in. That's like very surreal. That's super cool.
It's so surreal. So surreal.
I love.
But also, I saw Color Purple that same week, so.
That's a good week.
That was a good week. You hear me? Okay. Yeah. That was a real good week for me, so.
Destiny.
Yeah, the first show that made me fall in love with theater. Hard question, because I feel like I kept falling in love with theater a lot, but the moment I will say the show that made me want to do this for a living mm-hmm. was Hairspray.
Yeah.
My dance teacher played it in the car and I was like, this energy, like I can feel it in my car. And she was like, you have to be Little Inez. I never liked it. But like, it was the first time I heard that like young black girl voice on in the car. And I was just like, sure. Oh my goodness. That same dance teacher took me to my first Broadway show, which was Thoroughly Modern Millie. And
ooh.
Magic. Just like, as soon as they start saying, everything today is thoroughly, you're just like, you want to explode, you know? and seeing, you know, these fierce women tappers and like Sutton Foster and Gavin Creel and mm-hmm. Shirley Ralph. Like I just, it was magical. It was so magical.
You from around here?
Or? I'm from Texas.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that was a trip. Yeah. That dance teacher.
I know. I'm very, very fortunate.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, let's kind of go into your Broadway debuts. Kayla, let's start with you. You talked a little bit about it already. What was that experience like? You know, you've done a lot of kind of learning tracks and talk a little bit about not only the first Broadway show, but maybe even expand upon your experiences on covering.
Oof. Yeah.
Oh yeah, a very specific question.
Yeah, like I said, Waitress was, it was crazy. I literally had just graduated college. So to be in this show was like a dream come true. And I was around, everybody was older than me. I was the youngest in the cast. So it was a bunch besides the Little Lulus, you know. I had a one up because I had the Little Lulu right there. You know? But it was really interesting. It was the, I got to play the I was the first African-American person to play Don, which was super cool.
Wow.
Yeah, so I made history doing that, which was awesome. And also so nerve-wracking. I had never done a lead role before, a supporting role. I was always just in the ensemble. So to have to be a cover was a lot. And they, what I guess people don't necessarily teach you about covering is that there are two different circumstances. If you're in, since I was in Waitress and I was coming in as a replacement, I had time to learn the lead role, and I had time to like actually figure it out. And all of the staging was already done for me versus when I covered in King Kong and in Tina, I was having to watch their every move and write it down as we went along. So I kind of already had to like figure that part out by myself. So that was definitely, covering is not an easy feat. it is really hard. And, you know, sometimes I forget where I am. that's okay. But I find it really fun just because I like to play multiple roles. I love doing different things. So
sure.
Super fun for me. And everybody is beautiful. So I love working with people and learning from everybody.
Absolutely. Destiny, do you want to talk a little bit about your debut and kind of what that meant to you and kind of how you navigated that? As were you younger in the cast, or what was your experience?
Yeah, so I had lived in New York for about 5 years before I made my debut. And I did it in doing Amelie, which had already had two regional premieres before it came to Broadway.
Sure.
It came out of nowhere. Like, I did not even, I didn't even, you know, as an actor, you're looking at the season to see if there's even a possibility that there will be a show that you can be in. And I had looked and it was, you know, December, and I was like, oh, there's no shows for me, you know, that fit my type. And then Amelie came, and it, within a week I was in the show, and they had started rehearsals. And, you know, it's interesting because I covered, Amelie was an older cast. So I covered, as far as like the roles, all the women in the shop, except one, are, you know, late 30s, in their 40s. And so, and I'm very, like, I'm a very young presenting actor. And so it was always interesting learning how I swung the show. And yeah, it was beautiful. This company had been together for years and years and years. Philip Asu workshopped the show before Hamilton. So like they had been together for years. Kids had, they had named their kids Amelie, like, and so coming into the show and experiencing it with fresh eyes was so fun, but also had its own challenges.
Sure.
Because there was already a dynamic in learning set choreography, even though it was an original show.
Yeah,
Was challenging, but I loved it. We lasted for a quick little moment.
I saw it opening week.
You did?
I did.
Love that. Yeah, I still listen to that music. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, some of that music is perfect to sing during quarantine. Theme song, go through Amelie, you know, she wants no one around her, so
sure. you both kind of touched upon it, but didn't go into it. You all your years and time being in the city, whether it's long or short, in terms of opportunities, do you see more opportunities for you to growing as time goes on, shrinking? Kind of what is your perspective on kind of the inclusion in casting from your perspective as actresses?
Yes.
Yeah. So for me, this is a twofold question. There is the very more like spiritual and like, I don't know how to put it, but there is, my whiskey's kicking in. there is the like metaphysical way that you kind of look at it. And then there is the practical side. Sure. So which kind of is my Amelie experience. The practical side is that on paper, there are only so many shows that have a Black woman leading the company, and that's written in stone. That can't be changed. It's not interchangeable. There's only a couple. There's your Lion King, your Book of Mormon.
Ragtime Color Purple.
Yeah. But I mean, if we're looking at what's currently running on Broadway.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You've got, if you want to be a principal, you've got your Book of Mormon, your Lion King, your Tina. Like, that's pretty, like, leading lady. And so there's always opportunity in the ensemble, of course. But as far as growing, on paper, you can look at that and say, man, there's not much for me, you know? But then there's also the like spiritual practice that I think is very important, of abundance and believing that there is something for you, whether it's not created yet and you get to create that, or other people are creating it and bringing you into the fold of it. And so I live there. I try to find the intersection where I can be practical, but also like believe in abundance for me.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's my long and short answer.
No, that's wonderful. Kayla?
Yeah. I mean, I pretty much agree with everything that Destiny's saying. I definitely think that there has been a lot more substantial growth than it was in the past. Like, I think that there are more roles that are available to us where you can play a nerd or you can play a doctor. These things that we already are in life that a lot of people clearly did not see for us in the theater realm.
Yeah.
That is opening up more, which is beautiful. But I do agree that in terms of growing, one of the ways that we grow is to like come up to a lead role. Like, this is what we're practicing for. Like, this is what we're doing all of this for. And in terms of a lead role, there are, it's pretty much the same things that are out there. They haven't really changed in terms of dynamic or in terms of the depth within a character. So that is the practical side. That is kind of the harder side to accept. But I do agree in practicing abundance and being able to grow in each of these situations, because there is something that can be taught in all of these situations, I think. And so.
Putting original musicals aside, is there an adaptation of a movie or a book or something that hasn't been done yet that either one of you would kill to play?
Oh my goodness.
Like a weird dream role question.
So there's a character in Children of Blood and Bone, a new fantasy YA book. Zele is the character. I would love to be her.
Cool.
That's one. And then I love Jesse Nelson, who Kayla has worked with.
Jesse Nelson,
But I love her catalog. So Karina, Step Mom. Like,
I want a Karina musical.
Yes.
How awesome would that song about blowing on the streetlights be as like a teaching moment?
Oh my God.
Yeah, I just got chills. This is all I want now.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I don't know, honestly. I have no clue. Listen, there's an author. Where's my book at? There's a book that I'm reading. Seriously, there's a book that I'm reading, because it's not a musical or a TV show, but
it's great.
There's a book that I'm reading that's called Show Me a Woman. And it's all about this girl who like lives in New York, and all she's trying to do is figure out a guy's mind and like why men think the way they think. I think basically any kind of adaptation that has me being a a know-it-all kind of like real blunt person. Like, I'm about that. Give me that. Give me little fires everywhere. Like, give me those times that can come into play. Like, I'm for that.
Awesome. Well, on that note, let's all play a game.
So I keep trying to think of ways to use everyone's home because we're clearly not together. Mm-hmm. So we're going to play a game called the Show and Tell Showdown.
Okay.
What we're going to do is I'm going to give everyone 30 seconds to grab like the silliest thing around you.
Okay.
And then we'll each have a little show and tell moment with our item. Okay. And then I will randomly assign people someone else's item to make a musical about.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Perfect.
All right. 30 seconds starts now.
All right.
And I cheated and already have mine because I made up the game.
I know exactly. The second you said that, I knew exactly what I wanted to pull.
Really?
Yeah, I did. I don't know why, but
I just knew the thing I wanted was downstairs, so I had to bring it up.
I'm kind of judging myself on how quickly I had a silly
same.
And also the abundance of choices of silly things.
That's exactly what I'm thinking about.
I'll go first because I had mine prepared.
Okay.
Go for it.
And I don't know if you can see it. So this is an like 1915 replica of a 1915 Russian game or toy.
Okay.
That I got at the Nicholas and Alexandra traveling exhibit in Philadelphia.
Can you describe that to people on the podcast?
Yeah, so there's a bunch of little chickens in a row, and then it's on sort of a paddle. And then if you hold it horizontal to the ground and twirl this ball that's on strings, the chickens peck at the middle of the thing.
You're going to have to take a picture of that and put it on Instagram when we
get. I will.
Oh, my God.
I've had this since I was like 10 years old.
Wow.
And it's so random, and my mom like keeps it on the mantle.
Oh my God.
Let me go last so I can like just make up something in there.
Yeah, fine. Kevin, what did you find so quickly?
I grabbed this unicorn. It is a like paper mache. Like,
did I give you that for your birthday?
Pinata.
Yeah, it's a pinata. It's like a small unicorn. And Kimberly gave this to me for my birthday last year. And there was candy in it, but I thought it was so cute that I like carefully opened it and took the candy out instead of breaking it. And now it sits on my like right next to my TV. So this is my little unicorn.
Awesome.
That's me, find somebody.
Okay, so I have a autograph book that my dance teacher, the first dance teacher I've ever had, gave me for my Tina opening. There are no autographs in it, but I just love that she gave me this.
Yeah,
you know?
That's amazing.
Oh, so like at opening night parties, she thought you'd like take it around and have everyone
right. And I love that.
Amazing.
It says bold, brave Broadway.
Oh,
yes. So awesome.
It's like a yearbook.
It is. It's so great.
Oh my goodness. Brian.
Sure. I pulled a binder that I've had since 1998.
Wow.
With every single one of my movie stubs since 1998.
Brian!
Whoa.
This is... They're in, like, you know where you put, like, baseball cards in those, like, sheets? Yes. I have the sheets in here. It's every single hard copy of movie ticket stubs. And on top of that, even now when I buy them digitally, when I get to the theater, I print them out.
Wow.
Wow. What was the first stub?
February 13th, 1998, The Wedding Singer.
Oh, yes! I love that!
Yes!
June 24th,
1998. That's the movie you saw and you were like, I need to commemorate this in a binder.
This first... This first page has Wedding Singer, Batman and Robin, Star Wars The Phantom Menace, Keeping the Faith, Mission Impossible 2, Chicken Run, The Crew, Meet the Parents, and Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
I love it.
And the last movie I saw before all of this happened was The Invisible Man.
Yes! Oh, was it good?
Spectacular. It was so good.
Oh, good.
I keep wanting to rent it and watch it, but I'm like, I live alone during quarantine, so like, I don't know if I want to watch a movie about an invisible man.
Don't play those games. Not do it to yourself.
That'll freak me out.
Okay. This is what I have, guys. So,
cut
out of Jason Mraz. Let me tell you about this, because I did not buy this. Actually, Jason gave me this.
Jason Mraz gave you a cutout of himself.
Yes, so we did this winter like party at Waitress when he worked with us.
Uh-huh.
And everybody wanted the Jason Mraz cutout. And I'm not a butt kisser. I kind of leave people alone. And so he made this joke before he left and said that I like never really smiled at him. So he gave this to me to remember him by, so that he would always be with me.
Amazing.
So, awesome. So good.
Good little Jason.
All right, Kimberly, assign us. What's this game called again?
The Show and Tell Showdown.
Show, love it. Assign us.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Assign us. I meant to, like, have paper and pull stuff, and then I didn't do that. So I'm just kind of going to go like this.
Okay.
So, okay, the first person I pick is making the show. Destiny.
Okay.
With Kevin's unicorn.
Yes.
I love the pointing, Kim. Just
why not?
So basically you have two characters, Billy and Ellie, and they have grown up together for 5, 10, 15 years. And Ellie discovers one night that she's turning into a unicorn. And Billy, who is her friend of so many years, she calls him, she lets him know, and they go on this discovery of her unicorn past. What you realize is that, like, she has this whole ancestry of unicorn mother, father, grandparents, but they wanted to push her into the world, Earth, as a human, and cover up her life as a unicorn to save her from being extinct. So it's kind of like Big Fish meets The Color Purple.
Yes.
Yeah, The Color Fish.
The Color Fish.
Big Purple.
I'm also obsessed with the idea of, like, answering your phone and someone being like, hey, don't freak out, but I'm going to a unicorn. How's your day? I think that would be the greatest phone call you could ever receive.
Yeah. Exactly. And the 11 o'clock number would be something like, you and I, which is like the first three letters of unicorn.
Oh.
I am not about to play this game with you.
Wait, you and I is brilliant.
That is brilliant.
Wow. Oh,
good.
Yeah. So
I don't think anyone else needs to go.
Yeah, I think that is game.
You and I is so, oh man. Oh. I am so happy about that. That brought me a lot of joy.
I'm going to go ahead and say trademark that so no one can steal that brilliant idea.
I know. Don't you steal it, people.
Oh, don't you steal
it. Write it in your autograph book.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So since Destiny just went, her object is next. So I'll just decide now. Brian, make a musical about the autograph book.
Oh, sure. The autograph book. Okay, so this is a story about a young woman who is traveling from New York to San Francisco. And it's a road trip type musical where she goes from city to city. She's in a car with her best friend and they're traveling across country. And they're going to San Francisco to get the signature of a very famous wine producer. So it's like a little bit sideways, a little like they're going to Napa. Let me say they're going to go to not San Francisco. They're going to Napa to get the signature of a very specific wine. They're using a signature book. I'm filling this out as we go. They're using the signature book because to get, like, you know how when you spill wine on like a paper, a napkin or something like that, and you pull the wine glass off, it's got that ring.
Mm-hmm.
So she uses her, she's quirky. So she uses that autograph book to like get different wine rings and writes down what they are. That's like her thing. Okay. So she's going to Napa Valley to get a very specific wine ring. So they're driving. They're having a great time. And it's about their relationship with their families. Because what we find out in the third act of the musical. Well, it's in act two, but like it's the third act of the narrative. And
I was like, what are you doing? Is this Gilbert and Sullivan?
We find out that she gets like very upset about it because her best friend is just like, you know, or whoever she's with or whatever is just like, you know, we can turn around. Something tragic happens and like we can turn around, like, let's just stop doing this. We're not friends anymore, blah, blah, blah. And then we find out that she's actually traveling cross country because her father just passed away. And it's actually her father's autograph book. And like his thing was to collect those. And this was the only one that he didn't have from that wine producer. So then we find out that that's actually what she's doing. And then her best friend finds this out separately from her. She like calls the mom or something like that. And then there's some kind of like obstacle that the best friend ends up like removing that obstacle so that person can actually get that. And then there's a very nice moment at the end where they get that. And she realizes it's not about getting that. It's about remembering her father. So that's what that's about.
Yes.
Nice. And the last song is called AUT.
Yeah. And the 11 o'clock number is called Napa Napakin. I don't know.
Yes.
Okay. So Brian's stub binder.
That's right. You better believe it.
Kayla.
It's me. All right. This musical is called
Pictures.
Orders. This is called Orders. Orders. Boom. This musical is called Picture This. And it stars a... Thank you so much. That's all I got. Thank you. Thank you so much. so it's called Picture This, and it's about a teenage boy
He is 16 years old. Okay. So he has his whole future ahead of him. He's over here. He's worried about college. He's worried about his life, his future. He has a really rough relationship. He lives at home alone with just his mother. Mm-hmm. He's a single mother. They have a really rough relationship, but you never understand why. All you know is that he has this big book dating back from the time that he was 7, got to think about that, dating back to the time when he was 7, of all the movies that he's seen in his life, right? So him and his mother used to take on these trips before, but he's decided that he wants to do them by himself because he doesn't like his mother anymore, which we will find out in Act 2, okay? Actually, at the end of Act 1, I found it. That's where we're finding it out. So he has a next door neighbor.
They fixed it.
That's right. We'll figure it out. Actually, they fixed it. So
workshop that out. Yeah.
Okay. So he has a next door neighbor by the name of Lily, who has been his childhood best friend, right? So she takes on the role of going to the movies with him. But then she gets to this point where she's like, why am I doing this with you? Like, I don't want to do this with you anymore, because she starts to gain feelings for him, okay? And he's not in that place in his life where he wants to, you know what I'm saying, get down with Lily, old Lily, okay? So by the end of Act 1, because I'm not doing this, by the end of Act 1, we find out that the reason that him and his mother are not close anymore is because his mother and his father divorced. And his father got into a car accident the day after that they divorced. Cool. This is so sad. I'm hurting myself. This story.
Oh my,
this is
gosh.
So sad. What if I started crying? So,
so he had to deal with the divorce and then the death.
Yes, and then the death. Okay. So he blames his mother for all of this. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yes. So at the end of Act 1, that's what we find out. When Act 2 starts, he's found at the movie theater by himself watching this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So then he gets into this whole altercation. Oh, I should probably say his race. He's white. And so I'm picturing all this in my head right now.
Sure.
Get his race out there. It's all cool. So then he gets into an altercation with a police officer, and his mother comes to pick him up. So he gets into a big fight with his mom, and she's like, I don't understand why you don't like me, why you hate me, right? Mm-hmm. So then he screams at his mother. He tells her off. He tells her exactly what happens. And then she has to explain to him that the reason that her father in her divorce is dun-dun-dun. I'm giving you suspense.
Yeah, we
know.
This is the suspense. Everybody be quiet. It is because he was actually sick and on his deathbed, and he decided to divorce her. She didn't know that until after they divorced, but she never got to confront him because he got into the car accident. Yes, I know. Crazy. It's very deep, very dark. 11 o'clock number is called Why.
Yeah.
Any balance?
He got out of his deathbed to get in a car and then got in a car accident?
Yeah.
Precisely.
Wow.
So that's left to you to decide what you think happened in that car accident. Do you think it was suicide or do you think it was an accident?
Oh,
sure.
You twist, honey. You twist. That's why the 11 o'clock number is called what? Why?
Why?
So in the end, the boy and his mother, he didn't know that. So the boy and his mother, they go to therapy. They regain their trust. And then he speaks it over with Lily, explains to her everything that was happening. And then he found a sense of relief during all of this and realized that he actually wanted to talk to Lily. And then we end with all three of them going to the movie theater. Boom.
Yeah. What was it? Picture this.
That was deep. Okay. This is like a twisted Next to Normal beat. So.
Totally.
There was a.
Next to Normal times 20, and then you'll be there.
I would, not only would I see that would become my favorite musical, and I would cry thinking about it.
Yeah. You know, you'll be sitting there like, what? You know, that's all you need. That's it.
Oh my God.
Why would be in my book so fast?
Yeah, that's the audition cut, honey.
Yeah, why does the book
Why is? From musical picture this?
Man, picture this.
And just like the dad is fatally sick, then gets a divorce, then dies in a car accident.
Oh. It's the choices we make, okay?
Well,
I love that so much.
I'm realizing to avoid me having my own object, I have to have Jason Mraz.
Yes.
So the cutout of Jason Mraz is a musical called Flat Jason. And if you ever have heard of Flat Stanley, it's where you take like a little like stick and you like take them around on your adventures and you take a picture of it and then you like bring it back to school and like that's what I did on my summer vacation with my Flat Stanley. So it's called Flat Jason and it is about
Just imagine kids nowadays like, this is Flat Stanley in the kitchen. This is Flat Stanley in the living room.
Hilarious.
All right, so Flat Jason is a middle school girl, cut him out of a magazine, and she's, you know, she's been bullied at school. She doesn't have a lot of friends, but she, like, loves Jason Mraz. It's a jukebox musical.
That was going to be my follow-up question.
Amazing.
All Jason Mraz's music.
Yes.
Except, like, maybe one original song. Maybe he writes one original.
I love
it. Yeah, totally.
But this middle school girl, like, she's going to her grandmother's for the summer after just a really bad year in seventh grade. And she brings along her little cutout of Jason Mraz. And she's walking around. And the whole, most of the first act is her, like, alone, like, dream talking to Jason Mraz, who stars in the show, obviously.
Sure.
As, like, a little ghost in the background of Flat Jason.
Who's his first replacement?
And then, like, the end of act one, you see this other little seventh grade girl walk onto the stage and she goes, I love Jason Mraz. And then the second act is them becoming best friends.
Oh.
And then at the end, you know, he falls into water and gets hurt or something, and they're like, it's okay because we have each other.
Flat Jason sounds great. I love this. These are all of these have been great.
All right, Kevin.
Whatever that is. Okay, so this musical is called Cluck It. And it is about a young toy maker who has a dream to make the strangest toy that any child has ever seen. And he kind of does it the way that, like, Kaiser Soze comes up with his name. Like, he, like, looks around his farm and sees, he's like, it should have chickens. He sees the chickens. And then he sees, like, a ball hanging on a string. He's like, and a ball hanging on a string. And, like, a paddle. And, like, everyone's like, why would you make this? This is the worst toy. And he builds it and is just like, this is great because now look, I can make the chickens eat when you spin it. And like, nobody wants this toy. And it's like, all of like, most of act one is him trying to like sell the toy to a toy company, but they like won't buy it. And then finally he sells it to somebody, but he doesn't realize that they only want it for the paddle and the ball and a string to actually invent the like paddle game. And so his, like, idea gets kind of, like, usurped to make this paddle game, and they take the chickens off because it shouldn't have chickens on it. And, and at the end, he sings Oh Cluck It as he's, like, holding all these, like, chickens that they ripped off of his paddle. And so then he decides to make an even crazier toy where it's just, like, the same toy but twice, like, two of them. And then, like, he becomes big because of that because people are like, well, if there's a lot of chickens, then I'm in. But then he sells his toy and it goes well.
I love it. Oh, yes.
Good job.
Man, Paperball's next season sounds incredible.
As long as I give my 88%.
I mean, I would see, picture this in a second.
Oh my God, that was so good.
Just so dark. I don't know why I gotta be that dark, but it's dark.
Between Picture It and then You and I from the Unicorn musical, I'm just in heaven.
Oh, and the Jason Mraz song could have a You and I also.
Oh, yeah.
Editors.
But didn't Jason Mraz write all of these musicals?
Oh, yeah, obviously.
He did.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was so fun.
Why went to the top of the Billboard charts?
Why?
Oh, you know, you know where else we find out the answer to why?
Where?
Tuesdays
in the corner with Kevin.
Kevin's Corner.
Welcome to Kevin's Corner, where I have a few just weird and zany questions from websites called like funnyquestions.com and things like that. So I'm just going to ask you some of these questions and we'll see what we come up with.
Great.
If you could have, if you could have celebrities play your best friend and significant other in a movie about your life, who would you have play your best friend and who would you have play your significant other?
Ooh,
let me think. I want Taye Diggs to play my significant other. Because, I love Taye Diggs. He's so great. He's so great. Who don't want to play my best friend? I don't know, because I feel like she'd have to be like just as crazy. You know, she'd have to be crazy, you know. Dang, I don't know. I don't know. I gotta think about my best friend.
Destiny?
Why am I getting excited just thinking about him?
Quarantine girl, I hear you.
That's real. Okay, so I would say like Trevante Rhodes from Moonlight.
Sure.
That would be a great like significant other.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sad because in this moment I'm forgetting like my go-to men, you know. Yeah. But I would say
that's
him.
Not a bad choice.
I know. He's incredibly beautiful.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, Mahershala, if he wasn't married. So in a dream world. And Oprah would be my best friend. Yeah.
Well, that's a good one.
See, yeah. I need somebody
for sure.
A little more.
I'd be chilling on her compound.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Just walking the dogs, going to the garden with her, having deep conversations with her. And Gail would be my, like, close, like, other person. So
either
works for me.
Unstoppable trio.
I think I would have to have either Jada Pinkett Smith or Queen Latifah. Why? Because they are so real and very hood and also very funny and also just chill. And they also are very intelligent. I need all those things. I need to like be able to like turn up real quick with you and then also have a real in-depth conversation, you know? That's what I need.
I love how much depth you went into this question. That was impressive. You went there. Okay. Let's see. Next question. Have you ever tripped and fallen in front of a lot of people?
Yes.
Do you know who I am? I mean, I feel like that's my life.
It really is, Destiny.
Now, Kayla knows, like, I am notorious for falling. So, I've fallen on stage for sure.
She's fallen on stage. She's tripped on her dress on stage.
Yeah. Yeah. All the things.
Oh, man. Yeah, I fall all the time, so I'm sick of it.
That's so good. Do you have a haircut horror story?
Yes.
Yes.
I feel like every Black woman has a haircut horror story, first of all. But mine, I was 16, my mom told me that I was just getting a trim. She was like, this woman knows what she's doing. And it was like a friend of a friend. And I was so excited when I went in. And afterwards, I was like, my hair was like at my cheeks.
And
that wasn't really what I was going for, even though I knew I didn't have hair when I went in.
Sure.
For some reason, I thought I would walk out with hair down my back.
Oh, right. Totally.
My best friend picked me up and I locked myself in the bathroom for the evening.
Ooh.
I was so sad. Like, just so sad.
Oh, I bet.
Aww. I know. See,
mine is me trying to have my friend cut some bangs on my head and like
Queen Latifah.
I literally had to get some bangs cut. You know, just yeah, Queen Latifah. She tried to do it, and I let her do it. And but you know, when you're young, you be thinking that is cute until you actually, you know, think about it. You take a second look and you say, this was not right. Why would you do that to yourself? But now I see why people was looking at me cross-eyed.
That's amazing.
Impulse bangs are never a good idea.
Never.
Never.
You no. know, it's like that thing of like when I have kids, like one of the first things I'm going to teach them. Like impulse bangs, honey. Not a good idea.
Okay? Don't do it.
Don't do also, A, B, C.
Isn't that...
Now alphabet, come on.
I'm going to be sort of hip right now. Kimberly, isn't that like a popular TikTok trending right now?
You're
where girls are about to...
Isn't a TikTok thing.
What?
Oh, yeah. It's all these people like... The audio's like, I did a bad thing. They just like hold their bang like... And they're like, it looks good. And then some people, it does not look good. But the one audio that is funny is like... They hold their scissors up to their bangs and then they look at their phone and they go, oh, never mind. He texted back.
Oh, my gosh.
Might as well keep the bangs.
I cannot.
Yeah. My sister one time, her best friend's mom was a hairdresser. So she had like all of her stuff in the basement because she cut hair at home. And so she, her friend was like, why don't you like use my mom's stuff and cut me some bangs? And my sister was like, okay. And then they were crooked. So my sister tried to even them out and they just kept getting shorter and shorter. And then I finally like went upstairs and was like, Mom, someone needs to help.
That's crazy.
Yeah, never a good idea.
And this has been Kevin's Corner.
Yay!
Yay!
So you're both here to talk about Tina, which we haven't done at all yet. So let's talk a little bit about Tina. The first question I'm going to ask is that show is just like 110% energy. How do you bring that energy 8 times a week? And, you know, and then how do you shape that energy when you're going on for potentially not your your main track? Do you remember?
I mean, okay, the real question is Tina Turner, huh? Okay, yes. So I just playing. I love you, Tina Turner. Please, I'm just playing. If you hear this, it was just playing. I honestly, it is such. It's so much cardio. And when we first learned, when we first started learning it, Destiny will attest to this, they tried to speed it up for us. And the way we couldn't do any of those dances, we were like, could y'all, we just need to, we got to slow this down. We don't have, we don't have it. We can't breathe. Like we are on the floor dying. I just need you to 1 second, please. I think. And then as we got into the show, we were like, oh, we have to start going to the gym in order to keep this up, huh? It's so hard because the show is so much. So you're already so sore, mm-hmm. but you have no choice but to go to the gym or to do some kind of physical cardio fitness warm-up situation because otherwise you will not be prepared for the wind that's about to be knocked out of you. I mean, sure. True. And for Tina, like going on for Tina is, it seems like it would be easier, but adding lyrics? Let me tell you something. The first time I went on, I wasn't even nervous. I was more so just like, what's going to come out is going to come out. And if I can't breathe, I ain't going to be able to breathe. Like, but trying to sing Proud Mary while also dancing with them, it's mm-hmm. too much. It's a lot. It's too much. And I applaud Adrian every day because I don't know.
I'm assuming you have an even bigger respect for Tina Turner even now.
Oh, such such a huge respect. It's and Tina Turner will say, like, and she said this to most of the people that have played Tina thus far that she's met, mm-hmm. is they ask her, like, what do I need to do in order to, like, do this show and stuff? And she's like, you have to go above and beyond, like, every show. She was like, you have to literally give your all every show. It has to be as if it's going to be your last show. Mm-hmm. And that is scary because we're in a profession where we have to do this 8 times a week, you know, or in some people's cases, 6 times a week. Mm-hmm. And it's like, but I can't let Tina down. Like, I have to act like this is my last show. So literally you would be up there. Any of the Tinas that you see, you'll be like, oh, you ain't gonna have no voice tomorrow. I know. And I guarantee you all of the Tinas that are up there are like, please let me have a voice tomorrow.
You know? And mid-March, whether you knew it or not, that came true.
Okay.
I was just gonna say what you said made me laugh because when Adrienne was on the Rosie thing that she did at like the beginning of quarantine, she was in a bath. And I was like, oh, she must live there when she's not on stage. She's like,
and that's not a game. Like, I'm talking about always in an ice bath or me and Des used to do
cryotherapy.
Always in an ice bath of some sort, always in a hot bath of Epsom salt, like all the time, because your body is like done, like mm-hmm. completely done. Like, I think Adrienne does space legs every night, which is like compression on your legs when you're done with the show for at least 10 to 15 minutes before she even goes outside to say hello to anybody, because mm-hmm. you can't walk. It's really hard to walk after the fact.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a game.
No.
Whoa. Yeah, I also say, you know, I applaud our replacements that come in and swings that come in, because we fortunately had, you know, months to build up the stamina. We had a replacement come in and I was like, girl, you got 2 weeks to build up the stamina to meet us where we're at. And like, we've hit the point now, like Kayla, Holly and I as the Iquettes, where mm-hmm. we don't even like hit a full sweat anymore. Like, back in the beginning, drenched, mm-hmm. and now we've built up the stamina and so it doesn't hit us. But I will say the one thing that really, really helps me is you come out like, I mean, most of our dances as Iquettes, we're coming out of the gate like horses. And mm-hmm. you hear that music and something in you just is like, oh, I got a groove. And so you just can't stop because the music is so good. And it's almost like it conjures up a spirit that's like, let's go, let's groove. You know, like, I can feel the legacy of Tina Turner on the stage with us when we do High every single night.
Yeah.
And so it's powerful in that way.
Yeah. What are you most excited for when this all comes back, aside from like paycheck? What are you most excited for kind of bringing this back to the stage?
Go Des.
Go ahead. I think, so first, I think, you know, we have to acknowledge that whenever it is that we come back, it will be in a totally different place in history. Mm-hmm. Our culture will be different. The way we engage with one another will be different. Mm-hmm. But what is exciting is knowing that the legacy of the tradition of theater doesn't change. And so what people will experience in those seats in the L'Enfantine will be the same experience that they've experienced for centuries in this art. And I think the power of these traditions that we step into, that I think in the past, you know, century, we've maybe forgotten because of technology, mm-hmm. but I think we'll step into a very historic tradition like theater and be reminded of, it'll trigger like, oh, this is what being human was and is. And I love that about theater. It does not change in the way that technology changes. Yeah, the sets may move more efficiently. The lights may be better. The the performers maybe have more stamina, but the art of it, the engagement of the audience and the actors on stage, breaking and putting back this fourth wall up and down, will always be the same. And I think that that is going to be something that we treasure more.
Yeah, that's
a beautiful answer.
Exactly what I was thinking. Like, I think being able to come back, like, it just, because everything is not going to be the same, like finding the newness in what you've already laid the foundation to be is like such a big thing. And I'm just like, I'm excited to connect on a new level and like to be able to see an audience member again, feel the exact same passion that I'm feeling. Like, mm-hmm. for us to both sit here and look at each other and be like, I'm so glad to be here. Like, I am eternally grateful for this moment in time. Because, and I think a lot of people lose, Broadway can become so much about the lights and stuff that people forget about the art and why it is that we're doing what we're doing and the message behind all of it. And the fact that theater is one of the only things that allows people to escape for a moment or to just sit and like fully enjoy a moment. And I think being able to come back from this time, I think it's going to be an extravaganza to say like the least. And I think it's going to be more love than people knew that they could handle. Yeah.
Sure.
That's so amazing.
And then last question, is your stamina ready to go if you did it tomorrow?
Let me tell you something. The answer is no. What's crazy is we work out. We still work out while we're at home.
Sure, sure.
But the way I tried to teach Tina choreo a couple weeks ago, and the way I can breathe.
It's hard. But that's the problem, is that it's in my heart and not in my body. So I would pass. Because I'd be so happy to do it that I would go full out like I've never before, which is also a problem for me. And so I would pass out because my body would be like, stop, stop, stop. But I would be like, no, we got to go.
Awesome. Well, on that note, that does bring us to the end of our episode.
It does.
Thank you so much for joining us. This was so fun. We couldn't suggest going to see Tina any more than we already do when it does come back. But thank you so much for joining us. You can follow them. You're on social media, yes?
Yeah, at Destiny Ray, 2 E's, R-E-A. Awesome.
At Kayla Davion. Capital K, capital D, okay?
Check them out. They're incredibly talented. Thank you so much for being here. Because big wheels keep on turning. Proud Mary keep on burning. Rolling, rolling, rolling on the river. That's our quote for the episode. Thank you so much for joining us. You can find us at Broadwasted on Instagram, on Twitter. Join our Facebook group. Check out our Patreon. We're hanging out there. Check on Patreon. We got our movie videos and things of that nature. And then, of course, you can find us on Spotify and iTunes. Rate and review us there.
Five stars,
please.
And thank you.
But thank you both so much for joining us. As we end every episode, we raise our glasses together. Typically empty. as we end every episode, we say... Cheers. Thank you both so much. It was awesome talking with you.
Thanks for having us, y'all. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Hey, it was so fun.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suf's has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.